Must you be so gracious to every dowager, beldam, and debutante we pass? Tertius Dundee, 11th Duke of Dunfallon, kept his voice down. A peer did not shout on a public walkway, particularly when he was determined to elude the notice of the ladies. Yes, I must. Nicholas Haddonfield, Earl of Belfont, replied. My governess pounded gentlemanly deportment into my hard little head before I graced the schoolroom, and the ladies enjoy my overtures. Besides, Yuletide approaches, and the season enhances my already abundant good cheer. You can afford good cheer, Dunfallon retorted. You're married. And happily so, thank the deity and my darling countess. Belfont tipped his hat again and beamed his signature smile at a pair of widows swaddled in fur muffs and wool scarves. Because his lordship stood over 6.5 feet tall and sported a head of shining blonde curls, his gallantry was like a beacon across Mayfair, summoning the admiring glances of any female with eyes to behold him. Remind me, Dunfallon said, that the next time we meet for breakfast at the club, we arrive separately. Nonsense! A brisk stroll works up the appetite. Blast ye, Belfont, don't ye dare even think. This time, the Earl made a sweeping gesture out of removing his hat before a roving band of well-dressed young ladies. Enjoy your shopping, he called. Remember that I have been a very good boy this year. A chorus of tittering and simpering followed from the young women, their chaperones, and the maids trailing after them. Across the street, a petite female, attired in a white velvet cloak, gawked at the spectacle Belfont created. Her older companion, sensibly attired in blue, smiled indulgently. What sort of fool wears a white cloak in London? Belfont asked, settling his hat onto his head, then taking it off again and tipping it to the pair across the street. The fabric will be grey before she's bought her first pair of dancing slippers. The day was brisk but sunny. A shiver nonetheless passed over Dunfallon's nape. That wee princess is Miss Minerva Peasgill, accompanied by her mamma. Miss Peasgill turned down 3 proposals during the season and 2 during the little season, to hear her mamma tell it. Stop lollygagging and get on with ye. She's quite pretty, Belfont said, budging not 1 inch. If you like the delicate porcelain look. Still, white isn't very practical. I like a practical woman. My countess, for example. Move your lordly arse, Belfont, or s'help me out. God have mercy, they're coming this way. Dunfallon's best hope lay in the fact that Belfont, being as tall as a lighthouse, would hold the lady's attention. Dunfallon himself could steal away unseen if he moved with the purpose and stealth of a border reaver beneath a quarter moon. The chronic congestion of London's fashionable streets prevented Miss Peasgill and her mamma from charging across the thoroughfare. Dunfallon took half a moment to assess the surrounds. If he ducked into a shop, the ladies might well follow. If he simply loped off down the walkway, they would also give chase, hallooing and yoo-hooing like hounds on the scent. Where was a gentleman's club when a duke needed safety from the matrimonial press gang? His gaze lit on a modest 2-story building tucked between a coffee shop and a milliner's. The windows displayed neither gloves nor boots nor fans. No porters loitered outside prepared to bear purchases home for any shoppers. A solicitor's establishment, perhaps, or... The sign on the lamppost swung in the chilly breeze. West Bart Street, Lending Library. All welcome. Excuse me, Dunfallon said. Find another companion for breakfast, Belfont. Please delay the ladies as long as you can. Belfont's smile became less genial and more piratical. They'll ambush you in the churchyard, at the house parties, and at the Yuletide open houses. Mistletoe was invented by spinsters, you know? Or by clever bachelors, among whom I hope to number for a good many years. Dunfallon moved off with the pedestrians thronging the walkway. By the time he'd reached the lending library, Miss Peasgill's signature, "Hello, hello, my lord," was ringing out behind him.